La carta a Timoteo, la primera carta a Timoteo, capítulo 3. We have a great, great service in store for us tonight. A lot of wonderful things to take place. Tenemos un servicio preparado para todos nosotros. Algo especial esta noche. Pero una palabra del Señor, una palabra que viene de su Santa Biblia. A word from God's most holy word. I'm looking tonight at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Capítulo 3, versículos 14 y 15. I'm going to read from English, and usted lee en español, versículos 14 y 15. The Apostle Paul writing to the young man Timothy, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. And the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy. It was a manual on church polity. Era un manual en la conducta de el cristiano en iglesia. And so he gave us six distinct chapters where he recounts to the Apostle, to Timothy, by the Apostle Paul, recounts to him how it is that the church ought to conduct itself. We are the body of people. We are the body of Christ. We are the church of the living God. And we, because we're a distinct people, we're a unique people, we are a special people, we need to conduct ourselves in a unique and special way. Somos un pueblo escogido por Dios. Somos la iglesia del Dios vivo. Y porque pertenecemos a Él, somos un pueblo especial, pueblo escogido. Y por eso nuestra conducta debe de ser especial. Debemos de conducirnos en manera muy especial. We should conduct ourselves in a very special manner. And the apostle in this epistle spells out all the different ways that believers should behave in the church. En esta epístola, el apóstol nos da en seis capítulos la manera en como un cristiano debe de conducirse siendo el miembro del cuerpo de Cristo, miembro de la iglesia. Pero lo interesante, en versículo 15, it's interesting in verse 15, just by way tonight of exhortation this evening, since we don't have a lot of time to explore all the chapters in this great, great epistle, let me just whet your appetite, let me just lay before us for a few moments the conduct of the believer in the great church of the living God. No tenemos tiempo para exponer los seis capítulos, pero queremos nomás poner a frente para nosotros la conducta del cristiano en la iglesia del Dios viviente. Interesting that he uses metaphors. God, the apostle, uses metaphors to help us understand how we should conduct ourselves in the church of the living God. El apóstol usa metáforas, una manera de enseñar, metáforas para enseñarnos la conducta del cristiano. He uses three metaphors that lays before us to impress upon us the conduct of the church. Nos habla de tres metáforas para enseñarnos la conducta del cristiano en la Santa Iglesia. Veremos esas metáforas. Let's look at those metaphors for just a few moments. Tools that he uses for us to understand our conduct before the people of God. Versículo 15, look at verse 15 once again. In case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one should conduct himself in the household of God. In the household of God. En la casa de Dios. Esa es la primera metáfora. That's the first metaphor that he uses. The church is described as a household of God. That is a family of God. We're a family of God. Somos una familia de Cristo. Es lo que somos. La iglesia no es un edificio. Es un pueblo de Dios. Somos un pueblo de Dios. We are a family of God. And so he lays that before us. If we're to conduct ourselves properly, then you recognize that we're a family. And as a family, then, we have God as our what? God is our Father. Como familia tenemos a nuestro Dios como nuestro Padre. Porque la familia tiene un Padre. Y el Padre es nuestro Dios. Es decir, nosotros entonces somos miembros unos con otros. We are then members one of another. And the beauty of the church is that we belong to each other. We are members one another. And this membership is regardless of ethnicity, regardless of race, regardless of sex, regardless of economy. We are all members one of another. Porque somos una familia, entonces somos miembros unos con otros y no hay distinción en la membresía. No importa de dónde usted viene, de su economía, de su nacionalidad. No importa. Somos todos miembros unos con otros. I mean, this is so powerful. This thing was so powerful. This membership was so powerful. That in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and verses 1 and 2, esta metáfora que somos una familia de Dios era tan importante y tan, era una fuerza tan grande que dice en versículo 1 y 2 de capítulo 6, he says, all of you who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. And those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren, and must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefits are believers and beloved. I mean, this idea of being members of the family was so overarching that even if you were a slave and your master was a believer in Christ, it brought unity, it brought you together. Imagine that. Esta idea que la realidad que somos una familia en Cristo era de suma importancia, que si su amo era creyente, usted como un siervo lo veía como un miembro de la familia. Es decir, estaban ya unidos en Cristo Jesús. What an overarching metaphor to bring us together and to remind us that we are one. And from this idea of family comes this idea of brothers and sisters. You ever notice that? That the Bible speaks to us as brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Nos hablamos como si somos hermanos. Nos titula la palabra, somos hermanos, hermanos y hermanas, porque eso somos en Cristo. We are one body in Christ. And we want to recognize that our conduct then should be always in recognizing God as our Father and living to imitate God. Porque Dios es nuestro Padre, tenemos que imitar a nuestro Dios, to imitate our great Father in holiness and righteousness and to live accordingly. And to love one another as members of the family. They say that blood is thicker than what? Than water. Dicen que la sangre es más, pesa más que el agua. Es decir, es esta relación que tenemos de sangre es algo de suma importancia. Ahora, como en Cristo, hasta más. We then are to love each other. Jesus said, by this will all men know you're my disciples if you, what? If you love one another. If you love one another. And so our conduct needs to be, because we are the family of God, our conduct should be in loving one another, in caring for another. Nuestra conducta, porque somos de la misma familia, de amarnos los unos a los otros. You know, over the course of time, people come to visit our church. They come to visit us, they sit where you sit, and they come to observe. Muchas veces vienen hermanos de otras iglesias para visitar nuestra obra aquí. Y se ve, cuando vienen, dan un testimonio, dicen que ustedes se aman los unos a los otros. Existe un amor aquí diferente que existe en otras iglesias. They say that there is a love here that they don't find any place else, or very few places, that you do genuinely love one another. That is a testimony to your faith. And a testimony to the conduct that you behave towards each other, loving one another. And so the apostle reminds us that our conduct should be that we should love one another because we belong to the family. Debemos de amarnos porque pertenecemos a la familia de nuestro Dios. Vamos a Colosenses 1. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Another metaphor that is found in Colossians chapter 1. Otra metáfora que encontramos en capítulo 1 de Colosenses, versículo 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Versículo 18. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, this great Christological passage in Colossians. Este pasaje que habla de la persona de Jesucristo. Verse 18, he is the head of the what? Of the body. Él es también la cabeza de qué? Del cuerpo. The head of the body, the church, notice. The head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in what? Everything. He uses the analogy or the metaphor of a body, of a human body. Usa la metáfora de un cuerpo, analogía de un cuerpo, así como un cuerpo humano. Y dice que Cristo es la cabeza. Christ is the head. Christ is the head and we are members of his body. Nosotros somos miembros del cuerpo de Cristo. La iglesia entonces es un cuerpo. The church is a body. And because it is a body, then we then are to conduct ourselves in a special way. Because we are the body of Christ, porque somos miembros del cuerpo de Cristo, entonces nuestra conducta debe entonces de reflejarse de esta manera, porque pertenecemos a Jesucristo, al cuerpo de Cristo. Now, because Christ is the head, Christ is the head, he is to have preeminence in everything. In other words, the most important part of the body is your what? Is your head. Your head directs everything. Your head decides where you want to go. Your head is where, that is where everything is planned and done. It directs the body. Jesus Christ is our head. Cristo es nuestra cabeza. And that means that in our conduct in the body of Christ, then we ought to be in obedience to Christ. Because Christ is preeminent. Christ is supreme. We are to be preeminent. He is to have preeminence among us. He is to be first place in everything, and he is. And in our lives, he needs to have preeminence. He needs to be first in our lives. Porque Cristo es la cabeza. Porque él tiene la preeminencia en todo. Entonces, por eso, nuestra conducta en Cristo debe de ser estar sujetos a él. Una vida de obediencia a nuestro Cristo. Obedecerle en todo. Él es el Señor de nuestras vidas. He is the Lord of our lives, and therefore we should be in obedience to him. All of us have a struggle with obedience. We rebel. We only want to obey one person, and that's whom? Ourselves. Ourselves. Am I the only one that has a rebellious spirit, or is there another one here besides my wife that has a rebellious spirit here? Huh? Isn't that all of us? Don't we all have a tendency? You see, and so we're reminded. He says, I'm reminding you people that because the church is a body and Christ is the head, therefore understand and recognize and submit to his lordship, his headship. He has to have preeminence in everything. Porque Cristo es la cabeza del cuerpo, la cual somos nosotros. Debemos de estar sujetos a él en todo. Y que él tome control de todo, todas nuestras vidas. On the other hand, because we are members of his body, then we then belong to each other as well. Porque somos miembros del cuerpo, we are members one of another. Go to Ephesians 4 for just a moment. Vamos a Efesios capítulo 4 por un momento. In Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle develops the analogy or the metaphor of the body concept. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. In Efesios 4, 11 al 16, el apóstol Pablo nos habla tocante el cuerpo de Cristo y la iglesia que es un cuerpo de Cristo. Usted lee en español el versículo 11 al 16. Vamos a leer juntos. Look at verse 11. But he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the what? There it is, the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even whom? Christ. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in what? In love. See, we are members of the body. We are the body of Christ. We're members of it. All of us belong to the body of Christ. Nosotros somos miembros del cuerpo de Cristo. Él es la cabeza. Nosotros somos miembros del cuerpo de Cristo. Cada uno de nosotros es parte del cuerpo, es un miembro del cuerpo. Tenemos un don espiritual donde nosotros podemos entonces cuidarnos los unos a los otros. We all have different gifts to care for each other. You might be a little finger. You might be an eyeball. You might be an eyelash. You might be an ear. You might be any other part of the body. But the purpose of that is so that we would all work together, minister together, equipping the body for the work of service so that the body would grow and mature and build itself up ultimately, that we would care for each other. That's who we are. Your body is a marvelous institution. It's a marvelous organization. Su cuerpo es una institución maravillosa. In the fact that it is working, all the members work together. When you sat down this afternoon and you had your meal, when you had your steak picado, you had your we had fried chicken for our new members' luncheon. We had all that stuff that kills you. We had chili beans. We had salads of all types. I mean, we had some good stuff, and you ate it. And right now at about 6:45, my body has been digesting that, and though my tongue was rejoicing right around 1:30 this afternoon, and my stomach was feeling really good. You know what I'm saying? Well, my tongue is no longer rejoicing. It's running more. And my stomach is rather empty, asking for another plate of whatever. But you know, the rest of my body's having a feast because they're receiving all the nutrients that are being digested. And so right now, my liver is jumping up and down. You know what I'm saying? And my little fingers are really excited. And you know, because they are receiving, the blood has all this stuff and feeding and taking care of each other. And so it is. See, that's who we are. That's why if you don't use your gift, if you don't care, if you don't minister, the body is not doing something properly. Someone's missing out. Si usted no está ministrando su don, entonces alguien está fallando, algo está mal, porque no estamos recibiendo el beneficio de su don. Usted es parte del cuerpo. You know, if the hand refuses to work, we have problems, do we not? If the feet refuse to work, we have problems, do we not? You know, if things refuse to work, we have problems. And so the body is designed in such a way for mutual responsibility one for another. We are all gifted. We all have a gift. Todos tenemos un don. All of you have a gift. All of you. And your gift is absolutely necessary. You cannot sit there and say, boy, my gift, you know, it's not very important. Not a very important gift. Oh, it's a very important gift. We need your gift. And because you're a member of the body of Christ, he says you need to exercise and utilize that gift for the glory of God. Usted es de suma importancia. Su don es de suma importancia. Nunca piense que usted no es necesario. Que si usted se desaparece de la iglesia, que ya no actúa en el servicio de Dios, que por allá quizás no lo vamos a hacer de menos. Usted está bien equivocado. Sí, lo vamos a hacer de menos. ¿Por qué? Pues porque estamos fallando de su don. Hay una escasez, porque sus dones no está actuándose como debe de estar actuado. Entonces, vemos la importancia como miembros del cuerpo, de estar involucrados en las vidas de otros hermanos. We see the necessity because we are members to be involved with each other. It's how important to conduct yourself. We had a chance to ask our new members that you're going to meet in just a moment. They are a wonderful, wonderful crowd. Almost everyone seems to be better than the one we had last. And these 11 are just choice. They are choice. And they tell us what they want to do for Christ. And it's amazing how, almost without exception, they all had something that some of them are already doing things for God, and others have gifts they want to exercise for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great testimony. I mean, we are just ready to have them. We are ready. I feel like that little fly. You ever see a fly on your plate when the fly lands on your plate? You ever see them? You look at it carefully. They always go like this right before they eat. You ever notice that? And in some ways, I felt just like that. Hearing the give, I felt like, man, well, this is great stuff. You know, I can hardly wait for these folks to get on with their gifts that we can benefit from them. You see, you have a gift. Use it for the glory of God. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the apostle alludes to another metaphor here. Vamos a capítulo 3 de 1 Timoteo. El apóstol nos da otro ejemplo, otra metáfora para ayudarnos cómo debemos de conducirnos en la iglesia del Dios vivo. Notemos en versículo 15, notice in verse 15, that it says, you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, a family of God, the church of the living God, we talked about as the body of Christ, the pillar and support of the truth. He mixes it from the household, the family, to a building pillar and support of the truth, a pillar support, an edifice. Los pilares, las columnas que son el sostén del edificio. Entonces nos habla aquí que el cuerpo de Cristo, la iglesia, es un templo. We are really a temple. We are building. We're building a temple of the living God. And over again, it talks about that the body of Christ, the family of God, is also a temple of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, en la primera carta de los Corintios, capítulo 3, nos habla de que somos un templo. It mentions that we are a temple of God. Chapter 3 and verse 16. Chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, do you not know? Capítulo 3, versículo 16 y 17. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God, what? Dwells in you. Our lady sang about that. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is what? Holy, and that is what you are. See, the church, although it's not a building, in this sense, we are a building in another sense. We are the temple of God, and God's Spirit dwells within us. We then belong to Him. And so because we are His temple, our conduct then should be, first of all, holy. Holy conduct. We should not just be holy in this building. We should be holy all the time. True or not? Because we are always the temple of God. We're always the temple of God. Somos el templo de nuestro Dios. Y por eso debemos de ser santos. La santidad debe de ser nuestra conducta. No nomás cuando estamos aquí en este edificio, sino a donde estemos, ahí debemos de tener una conducta de santidad, conducta santa, porque somos el templo de nuestro Dios. Peter speaks to us concerning the fact that because we're His temple, that we then should offer up worship to Him. Spiritual sacrifices. Debemos ofrecerle a nuestro Dios sacrificios espirituales. En aquellos tiempos le daban sacrificios materiales. Pero hoy en día, porque somos un pueblo santo, una iglesia de Cristo, los sacrificios son espirituales. Because today we no longer belong to the old covenant, offering animals and goats and things physical. No, we offer now spiritual sacrifices to God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. And therefore, worship is so important for God's people. We ought to always, always be worshiping God. And so may I encourage us as God's people to be in a constant attitude of worship. Le exhorto, hermano, que esté en una actitud de adoración en toda su vida. Mientras que permanezca despierto, una actitud de adoración. Porque somos un templo de nuestro Cristo, de nuestro Dios. Back in Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Regresando a capítulo 3, versículo 15. Notemos aquí en versículo 15, we notice in verse 15, that the church is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth, columna y sostén de la verdad. One of the things that we are supposed to do as God's people is to guard the truth. We are guardians of the truth. The church is the guardian of the truth. That is our responsibility. It's your job and my job as God's people in our conduct to so guard the truth. Go to chapter 6, somos capítulo 6, versículo 20. Chapter 6 and verse 20, we alluded to this morning to this verse. In chapter 6, verse 20, capítulo 6, versículo 20, oh Timoteo, guarda lo que se te ha encomendado. Oh Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. In other words, people of God, the Lord has entrusted us the Word of God, given it to you and give it to me. It is the church's responsibility for us to guard the truth. We are here tonight, and we are rather relatively safe. We are looking forward to just a good evening tonight and probably just a good week. But the history of the church, has not been all that peaceful. We have had many of our forefathers have had to die defending the truth. Many of our forefathers were burned at the stake. They were beheaded. They were killed because they stood for the truth. Instead of having somebody destroy, they hid the Word of God. They protected the Word of God. They made sure the Word of God continued. They preserved it so that we could have it. See, this is part of our legacy as you and I being the temple of God to be the guardians of the truth. In the temple of God, there in the temple, they kept the Ark of the Covenant. They had there the Ten Commandments. They had there the golden jar. They had the special things that protected them. We don't have those, but we do have the Word of God. And it is our job to guard the Word of God. And so el trabajo de la iglesia en su conducta de guardar esta verdad que ha sido encomendada a nosotros. Tenemos una historia gloriosa de hermanos en otros siglos que dieron su vida para que nosotros en esta noche tengamos una palabra de Dios en nuestras manos. Dieron sus vidas por nosotros, por la verdad. Y nosotros, en pos de ellos, esta palabra se nos ha sido encomendada. Guardemos esta verdad. Somos la columna y sostén de la verdad. We are the pillar and support of the truth. May I encourage all of us to guard the truth as God has given it to us. This is just a brief summary just to help us in our conduct. You as a member of the Church of Christ, you have a wonderful privilege. Usted como miembro de la Iglesia de Cristo tiene un gran privilegio. Let's never minimize that special privilege. May God help us. May God help all of us to live in such a way to bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. Que Dios nos ayude como cristianos de traer honra y gloria a nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Would you say amen to that? Amen. That is our purpose. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar. Father, we are so thankful to you tonight. That tonight as we think about church and things that have to do with your institution of church, we want to thank you for the reminder that you gave us through Timothy, through Paul and Timothy, how we ought to conduct ourselves in this family of faith, family of God, the body of Christ, the temple of the living God, that, Lord, we would know how to conduct ourselves in such a way to bring glory to you. Thank you for the reminder tonight. Señor, te damos gracias en esta noche cuando tratamos de asuntos de tu iglesia, de este recuerdo del apóstol Pablo, nosotros, de nuestra conducta en la iglesia de Cristo, la familia de Dios, el cuerpo de Cristo, el templo de nuestro Dios. Y el privilegio que tenemos de pertenecer a tu iglesia. Ayúdanos entonces, Señor, a ser miembros que te traen honra y gloria. Que veamos este privilegio. Es un gran privilegio de ver nuestra membresía como un privilegio. May we look at our membership as an awesome and wonderful privilege to the glory of our great God. We pray now you help us as we conduct the rest of the meeting tonight, that we would honor you in all that we say and all that we do, in the election of officers, in our members voted in our conduct, our business, Lord, as we think of 2013 and beyond, that we might bring glory and honor to you. Señor, cuando te pedimos ahora que nos bendigas en esta noche, en la transición a los negocios de esta noche, que, Señor, nos bendigas, iniciando este año 2013, que, Señor, tú tomes tu iglesia y te glorifiques en nosotros y por nosotros, y que la gloria sea tuya. We thank you, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.